Straight up evil.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily fluids.
Thou shalt kill all of your
fans. Had a dog fish a tampon out of the garbage. It ain't right.
The Bible pages, you can pretend like you were a dog.
Wow.
Sherry. This makes me wanna freaking die. I wanna die because this woman is terrible. She makes me sad to be a woman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hiya.
All right, Queenies, we're just going to dive right in. Tonight, we are talking about Sherry Papini. Every time I hear Papini, it makes me hungry. And I don't know why it's not a food. It just sounds like a panini. Little panini.
Yeah.
Sherry Papini.
Let
Sherry
me get panini. A Papini panini.
Let me give myself a little Papini. Oh, so if God. That name sounds familiar to you, Queenies, you might have seen or heard her name in the media recently. Sherry Papini disappeared when she went out for a jog on November 2nd of 2016 in Redding, California. And then she did not come home. And when she didn't come home, she was reported missing. Her story was spread all around. And her missing persons, you know, information was detailed and distributed heavy online. This is a big story. And then she showed back up on Thanksgiving Day of 2016. This is almost exactly 3 weeks later, on the side of the road, almost 150 miles from where she originally disappeared. She was still wearing restraints, and she told the person who picked her up, saw her on the side of the road, that she had been freed by her captors at about 4:30 that morning. This sounds horrifying, right? But not impossible. Of all people, us Quinnies, know these things can happen. You can get trafficked at any time. Abduction can happen at any time, right? Stay aware of your surroundings, protect yourself, let your people know where you are, all the things. It can happen. But Sherry. This was not what happened to Sherry. Okay.
And no, this story is a little bit different.
It's a little bit different. It doesn't add up. It's just never added up the whole time. And Sherry's story suddenly got way less abduction and way more bored lady with too much time on her hands. This is just a really bizarre one. We don't get very many of these, thankfully. So we're going to start out with the disappearance. Okay. So Sherry's got a husband and his name is Keith. Okay. He received the last text from his wife, Sherry, around lunchtime on November 2nd of 2016. And apparently he was very busy that day. He worked for the Geek Squad at Best Buy. He could not break away. And when he did get home that night, the house was empty. Now, he expected Sherry and the kids to be there at that time. They have two children. He called Sherry. She doesn't answer. He calls daycare to see what time the kids have been picked up. And the daycare tells him that the kids were never picked up. They haven't been picked up yet. So he uses this Find My iPhone app. He locates Sherry and he finds her phone. And it's either at the edge of their driveway or at the end of their street. He says both things, so we don't really know. And he's very unclear on the phone because he immediately calls 911 once he realizes that the phone has been left. It strikes him as odd. He doesn't know what's going on. He finds the phone, and on top of it are her earbuds and some strands of her hair tangled up in the earbuds. And the phone is playing their wedding song, which was Michael Bublé's Everything, on a repeat setting. So before he even dealt with picking up his kids, he called 911. And even the 911 dispatcher is like, so are you going to go pick up your kids? Or did you call somebody? Did you deal with that, Keith, buddy? And he says he's going to call his family and he's going to ask them to go get the kids so that he can be there when the cops get there to speak with them, because he's very confused. He doesn't know what's going on. So the police do get there. Sherry did not come home. I'm assuming somebody picked up the kids. Pretty sure somebody did. And then the police begin searching for Sherry the following day. We could spend a lot of time talking about this 911 call. The internet certainly did when she went missing. But that's not really where we're headed with this story.
Right.
Really, really.
It's neither
not.
Here nor there at this point.
Nope. So who is Sherry Papini, Quinnies? At the time that she disappeared, she was about 5'2", about 100 pounds, blonde. blonde hair, blue eyes, and she is described as a stay-at-home mom. She's 34 years old. It's very difficult to find much background information on her. So what I know about
her, with that.
Yeah, seriously, I'm good.
Yeah, but it is weird though. It is very strange that you can't.
Kind of like no one wants to like say that they knew her or like associate with her.
It's almost as if someone's like taking care of it.
All the way to the top.
All the way to the top.
Every single time.
I'm just going to join the CIA. It's fine. Everything's fine.
It so should be called the Carly Investigation. Carly's
Investigative Agency. The Carly Intelligence Agency.
There it is.
Yes.
And evidence keeping.
A-E-K.
There it is.
It's not even good. We'll get a better one.
I love it.
Sherry was born on June 11th of 1982. Her father is Richard Graff. I think that's how you pronounce her maiden name. Her mother's name is Loretta Graff, and she has a sister named Sheila. I did read one article from the San Francisco Chronicle where some of her childhood friends confirmed that she made up lies about being a victim of abuse when she was a child. We know that she attended Central Valley High School. I don't know if those allegations of abuse are true or not. There's really nothing to substantiate them either way. It's just that the person who was interviewed said she lied and we knew she lied.
And it sucks because you want to believe them.
And
it's also really fucked up to people that have actually fucking suffered from that shit because it's almost like an insult.
So in 1998, when she was born in 1982, so she was 16. At the time, a 16-year-old blonde girl named Tara Smith went missing from Reading. She was in the same high school as Sherry Papini. Weird, right?
Very weird.
And then she also went missing from Old Oregon Trail Road, which is the same road where Sherry went missing years later. Very weird. And she was also out for a jog. So you're telling me that the same, literal same exact thing happens to Sherry 18 years later.
Yeah. So immediately right off the bat, you get copycat vibes.
Absolutely.
So Tara Smith has never been found and no arrests have ever been made in her case. We will include her missing persons information in the show notes.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Her family. Oh my God. Her family in the story.
You're just like.
Heartbreaks for them.
2002, we know that Sherry was working as a youth counselor. There is also some kind of contention that she worked for Verizon, or was it AT&T? It's a cell phone company that she was working for at some point, but she lost her job during the recession. Doesn't seem that she went back to work after that. 2002, we know she's working as a youth counselor. And then we get into her first marriage. So in 2006, she married a man named David Dreyfus, who was a platoon sergeant in the U.S. military. And we find out later in a subsequent criminal complaint that David Dreyfus testified that the marriage was a sham and it was solely for the purpose of Sherry getting military benefits through David. And apparently they both knew that it was a sham. They both participated in the arrangement, which is not unheard of.
I know someone that did that.
Yep, we've definitely heard.
What's he getting out of the deal?
I don't know.
Because he's deployed almost the entire time that they're married.
Like, what does he get out of giving her
I think that he gets more money because he's married. If you're not married, you don't make as much of an income. So if you are married, they pay you more.
Right? I see. Okay. So he's actually getting paid more. David Dreyfus also says that Sherry was harvesting her eggs for profit. She was selling her eggs like to an agency for profit, and it was causing her health problems. I guess it's a very lucrative market. It made sense. Like she would have good insurance. She could deal with her health problems. She was also making money off of selling her eggs. And if he was getting more money, I guess it's like a pretty good deal, pretty good business relationship.
This is weird. I know a little bit about this egg thing. If she's having health problems, she would not be a good candidate for doing so.
Right.
So that leads me to believe, A, either the health problems are due to her doing this so many times.
Yeah, I think so.
Or there are any health problems.
I was just going to say, they could also just be made up.
And this, we're going to come back to this too, because this is not the last time we're going to talk about benefits and not the last time we're going to talk about sham marriages in this story. So David said they met once before they got married. So make of that what you will. So while Sherry is married to David, who is deployed.
That rhymed.
Sherry is married.
She's legally married.
She's legally married. to David, who was deployed overseas, she reconnects with Keith Papini. So apparently they had been middle school sweethearts, which is not a thing. Hate to bring it to you guys. It's not a thing. It's just you're 11. Like, take
you're
a breath.
11.
And Sherry divorced David in 2008 and married Keith in 2009. She said something on social media about how he was her first kiss. I don't believe anything the woman says, so make of that what you will. And then we find out later that Sherry Papini doesn't really have a criminal history, but she's not a stranger to law enforcement. From 2000 to 2003, we're rolling it back just a little bit, the Shasta County Sheriff's Office is contacted by Sherry's dad, saying that Sherry burglarized his home. Now, this is an important distinction here, right, between burglary and larceny, because larceny just means you stole something. Burglary means you broke in with the intention of stealing something. That's a felony. So yeah. way bigger thing to accuse somebody of. But you don't necessarily have to steal anything. You just have to break in with the intention of stealing something. And then they contact the sheriff's office again after that. Again, it's Sherry's father. And he says that she's making unauthorized withdrawals from his bank account. So I dug into this a little bit. I'm not sure if she had his PIN and she was using it, but that would require his ATM card. So maybe not. And then I thought maybe she's going full Casey Anthony, Carly, stealing checks, writing them to herself, and then taking the money. But then that's check fraud. That's not illegal. Withdrawals.
Yeah. Right.
But like, is this at the time when maybe you could just enter in the credit card number and the PIN?
Yes. So I think
before chips and all that. You know?
Yes. So I think that it's more than likely that she had his debit card number and she was just shopping with it.
Maura Murray vibes. Yeah, totally. Yep.
And then we have some self-harm claims. Sherry's mom calling the Shasta County Sheriff's Department, saying she believed that Sherry is hurting herself. And there's very little elaboration about what this harm was. Loretta said Sherry was attributing these injuries to her mother, saying that her mother was physically harming her. Sherry's making the abuse allegations like to friends at school. Meanwhile, mom's calling. And at this point, I believe she would have graduated high school right around 2000. And all this is happening between 2000 and 2003. She's hurting herself. She's self-harming, which her mother is reporting. And then her mother is also reporting that sometimes she's self-harming. And then she's turning around and saying, my mother did this to me.
Super, super blood boiling. Because hearing something like that and somebody doing something like that is so messed up to the people who actually suffer from those things.
The people who are really hurting.
It is so on another level. That also is a huge red flag for me. If you're self-harming and blaming the abuse on somebody else, especially your mother, that is like,
I will say, just the fact that self-harm is involved at all obviously means she's dealing with some mental health that needs to be addressed and needs to be treated. Anyone who self-harms, like, please, we feel for you, we want you to get help. But if she's doing the self-harm solely to
lie about it,
that's different. That is
meanwhile,
that's like
there's
a whole other
like
level.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. It ain't clean.
I think that at this time, when all these allegations are being made, she's over 18. So there's not a whole hell of a lot mom and dad can do.
Right.
It's like Cindy and George Anthony. Ooh. What are you going to do with her?
I know. What can you do with her?
Then vandalism is the last one. So we got burglary, we got illegal banking, we got self-harm, and we got vandalism. Sherry's sister, Sheila, calls the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. The back door of her home has been vandalized and she believes her sister Sherry is responsible. So when all of this comes out, the Sacramento Bee published this information. They have amazing coverage on this case, by the way. I highly, highly recommend. They published this information and the family puts out a statement that says that the coverage is shameful. They say a whole bunch of terrible stuff about the paper. I don't personally believe in calling the police on your children for like that can also be another road children, that's like very scary and not what you it ends up being something you did not intend it to be.
It's also a tough, pretty straightforward lesson that like eventually, no matter what, like your lies will catch up to you.
Absolutely. Yep.
You can only run for so long, for 3 weeks.
Look at you, Casey Anthony.
Look at you. Look at you. Looking for love in South Florida. Run. Everybody run.
Oh my God. All right.
So now, okay, Sherry's gone. Nobody knows where she is. So we're going to get into the search a little bit. The dogs are brought in to track Sherry's scent, of course. In addition to law enforcement, many, many volunteers are rolling up. They're searching in areas that are described as, quote, covered in poison oak. Okay, not fun. Community comes out in droves. They really showed up for this family. They're papering the neighborhood. Somebody hangs a huge banner on the side of the road where her phone was found that reads, "Bring Sherry home." Local businesses are running advertisements. The community takes this really seriously. Keith took a polygraph 2 days after Sherry went missing and passed. So there was a lot of suspicion on him from the beginning. It appeared that he was being truthful.
I will say he has one check mark in the pro list. Because he did call 911.
He called 911. Carly, this is your thing.
We've talked about the call people talk about, but he did call.
He seems very awkward and nervous on that call. And I mean, the dude works for Geek Squad. Yeah, I don't want to make too many jokes, he is a little awkward.
Turtle.
A little awkward turtle. Probably,
yes, he really is.
Probably a very nice guy. Like maybe too nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe too accommodating, maybe a little
maybe she's a little bit bored. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, we're not going to talk about it right now, but like you definitely see that in the videos, like when the investigators are talking to her, you can just see him, like you really recognize that he really is in a lot of ways an innocent bystander in this that like didn't realize just how bad it was.
Yeah. Yep. All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay.
Yes. Sorry. It's such a circus.
It's crazy. So, yeah.
So then we get a GoFundMe account created. This GoFundMe bothered a lot of people. In the description of the page, which is now in active, but it is archived and it's a lot of fun to read through. The comments are pretty incredible. The funds disbursement section is described as such. All funds will go directly to the Papini family and will be used for search efforts to find Sherry and to help bring her home safely. Every dollar counts as time is critical. Thanks. So the goal for the funds was set at $50,000. And at the height of its campaign, it reached $49,070. And then a random anonymous donor comes out the woodwork, offers to pay $50,000 ransom.
Yes, this is so weird. This is so strange to me.
$50,000 ransom, even though there was no ransom ever announced. So at this time, the woman, Sherry, has not even been classified as abducted. Okay. And this guy's just like, 50 grand. I'll get her back. Okay. And we know, right? Summer Wells situation. People just come out of the woodwork and are
they really do.
Yeah.
They're like money. Obsessed.
Since the donor wants to remain anonymous, right, he hires a Reading local named Cameron Gamble to be the face of the ransom.
Yeah, okay. You're taking a gamble, all right.
Oh, you were taking you bet the farm on Cameron Gamble, and it's not going to be good.
You're losing the farm.
Okay, the farm's
bye-bye farm.
This man describes himself as, quote, an international kidnap and ransom consultant. He also calls himself an abduction expert. And seriously though,
no.
I can't. If anyone ever tells you that they are an abduction expert, just start running away.
They are in human trafficking.
Don't even let them finish what they're saying. Look at your watch, even if you don't have one, and just like start running away.
Answer
like it's Alice in Wonderland
where someone like, didn't just, call and just leave.
Truly, just run.
Turn around and run away.
Just run away mid-conversation. What? Okay.
Why would he call himself that?
So I'm like, okay, well, I would like to see your resume then, please.
I need to call your references.
Okay. Yeah, I need to call your references. Like, what does that mean? And why are you in Redding, California with your international ransom skills?
Okay. And where's your degree? And like, seriously.
How did you learn this? So I can't find his resume, but there is an article written by the Daily Beast that says his background is in self-defense coaching.
Yeah, his background is a crock of shit is what that is.
Can we find him on LinkedIn?
The thing is, he bought CameronGamble.com while this was going on. So he's trying to... make a name for himself in this situation. Sure. No, over, like, no,
basically dust. Over a fake missing girl. Yep. Yeah. But okay.
Also,
but,
there's a ton of Cameron Campbell's. Probably.
That's interesting though. That's very interesting though, because how do we know that he, maybe they weren't in on something? You know I'm saying?
We don't. We know very little, to be honest. We really don't. So he released a series of very weird videos demanding Sherry's return, and law enforcement really did not appreciate it. They basically shut him down.
No, I don't appreciate it either.
So Sherry's missing. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. And the police start looking into a man named Donovan Misk. Okay. Again, Sacramento Bee, hit it up. Awesome coverage of this case. Really, really, really good. They unsealed some search warrants that reveal texts between Sherry and Donovan in the weeks leading up to her disappearance. So he said he met Sherry in 2011 at a conference in Michigan. Again, I don't know what she was doing in Michigan. I don't. So random. I really don't know. But then
I'm going to tell you. So, I'm going to tell you what the fuck she was doing. I'll tell you.
She's got littles at this point. Really little kids. And she might be between children at that time. So I don't really know. Randomly, Sherry then texts Donovan after seeing on social media that he said he was in San Francisco. And they talk about meeting, but Redding is 4.5-5 hours away from San Francisco. Probably not going to happen, right? Yeah. And Sherry's messages are just like weird, man. She says at one point, quote, "If we don't meet now, we may never meet again."
Right. Let's never meet, Sherry.
Sounds good. Donovan says that he had no idea that she was married, which, like, I don't even know about that, man. Like, no, her social media was all babies and hubs and selfies. Like, no, no, whatever, man. Like, it's kind of like Casey Anthony's boyfriend, Tony Lazzaro. Like, this guy is just like wrong place, wrong time. Like, he happened to have a text conversation with this woman right before all this shit went down. But the police were so compelled by this that they went to Michigan from California and they searched his house. They found absolutely nothing. So, all right, Thanksgiving 2018, Turkey Day. Okay. If you're like me, it's Thanksgiving morning. You're up insanely early, all nerves, like, got to get this done, got to make sure this is done, do the watching thing, the parade, this, whatever. By like 11, I can like sit down with a coffee and like watch some, like, you know what I mean?
I know, but you cook like all the things.
Just like zipping around in the morning, like, and then do this and whatever. So, okay, Thanksgiving morning 2018, there's a woman driving with her young daughter. They're visiting their relatives for Thanksgiving and they're flagged down by a woman on the side of the road and she looks pretty bad. So they call 911. Highway Patrol confirms this is Sherry Papini, who was found on the side of the road. This is 24 days after she disappeared. I'm sorry, 22 days after she disappeared. It was the 24th, 150 miles from home. Her physical appearance is pretty hotly contested, but here's what I've got. Her hair is now short. Her nose is visibly swollen. She's lost 10 pounds and she was only 100 pounds when she disappeared. So she looks bad. She's on the side of the highway. So she's examined at Woodland Hospital. And upon arrival, they find no evidence of sexual assault. She had bruising on her face, ligature marks on her wrists and ankles. She had burns on her left forearm. She had bruising on her pelvis, on the front of both legs. And she had been branded on her right shoulder. And the brand was described as indistinguishable. No one could tell what, if anything, it said. And she would not talk to the police at all when they arrived. So when her husband was notified, the police said, "Hey, Keith, I want you to go be with your wife, ride in the ambulance with her, talk to her, and take this recorder with you because she won't talk to us. And we need a statement immediately. Like, we need any information we can get so we can find these people." And she would talk to someone she was comfortable with. They would still get the story. Keith consented, whatever. So we have this recording. Sherry said that she had been held in a locked room for the past 22 days. How did she get there? She was kidnapped, Quinny, by two Latinas. This is her words. Held her at gunpoint while she was out for a run. There was one young woman and one old woman. They wore face coverings, but Sherry said the older woman had straight black hair and thick eyebrows. The young woman had curly black hair and thin eyebrows and pierced ears. They told Sherry that she was going to be sold as a slave to a cop. They branded her on her shoulder with a cattle brand. She was forced to use a bucket filled with kitty litter as her toilet. She was chained in a small room. Her diet was, quote, "bread, beans, tortillas, leftover meat, and apples," which this is just Tamla Horsford. She brought some tequila from Mexico. It's just stereotypical. I can't. Like, I can't. I can't. It's enraging.
It is.
Sherry also said that she managed to slam the younger woman's head into the toilet at one point, but I thought she didn't have a toilet, right? Because she had a bucket.
Well, she was allowed to shower, so use the toilet, but she was allowed to take a shower.
Right. She was allowed to shower, but she couldn't use the toilet because she didn't have a toilet, but then she slammed the woman's head into the toilet, but then the women soon got the upper hand and she was subdued again. And she said that one of the women was reading her the articles that were being written about her, about how no one believed that she had been really abducted. And the day before she was released, she said she heard a gunshot and that the older woman never reappeared. And the younger woman put her in the back of a car and dropped her on the side of the road on the interstate 150 miles from her home. And that was the end of it.
On Thanksgiving, for a Thanksgiving miracle.
Mm-hmm. In Yolo and County.
Sorry. And sorry.
You don't really
these
know
are red, these are red flags.
She had to get home to watch the dog show. Okay.
So important.
We needed to get home.
Anybody that knows anything about trafficking, you're not going to freaking.
You're this not will be gonna... quick, Quinny. We'll get through this. Yeah, we will get through this, Quinny, because it's just okay. So detectives do a press conference that day. Please, anyone with information, please come forward. Sherry Papini has been found. They acknowledged how weird the story is, how bizarre the whole thing is, but they were like, listen, just come forward if you know anything about this. And this directly led to a bunch of people in Reading calling the cops on Hispanic women. This led to a bunch of women who were either undocumented or overstayed on visas, perhaps unauthorized admissions, being held in detention. Huge consequences to this. So then Keith talks to ABC's 2020 and he expresses his love for his wife and he is disgusted with people who thought she was lying. And he gets emotional several times. He describes her injuries in detail. Meanwhile, the police are like, Keith, shut up, man, because we don't want to give away that much information because we want to be able to identify who did this. Stop talking to the press.
Mm-hmm. Protocol. Yeah. That's what they do. They don't want you fucking blabbing about it all over media when they're trying to investigate
it. And he's clearly like trying to defend his wife. He's clearly being like, I can't believe I thought she was dead. Like, I thought I was never going to see her again. You know,
he was a ride or die for a minute. Mm-hmm. He was.
Yeah. He was. It's so tragic. It's such a tragic part of the story.
So they start using cell phone records. This is pretty smart what they do. The police take Sherry's cell phone to look for her captor. So what they do is they take her phone and they use the tower that was near her phone when she disappeared and the tower near her when she was found. And they look for any numbers that ping both of those towers. They track down a 21-year-old girl who lives in Reading. They're like, what the hell are you doing up here? She's like, I'm on my way to the Sacramento airport to visit my parents for Thanksgiving. She's not related to the case at all. Complete and total dead end. And they do it over and over again. Same result. And it's a nightmare too, because everyone is traveling on that day. And then people on the internet start getting to work. Okay. So Sherry disappeared a few days before Donald Trump was elected president in 2016. And he ran on a platform of anti-immigrant sentiment expressed by him in many rallies, expressed in a bunch of his policies too. You remember these sound bites on the news. Immigrants are coming over the border, taking, They're stealing your jobs. They're talking specifically about Mexicans here, right?
Crime.
They're raping our women. These are bad hombres. Remember when he wouldn't stop saying that? The very small Hispanic population in Reading, this is only about 10%. It's a very conservative area. They were terrified to go out alone. They're afraid that they're going to be accused of things that they didn't do. Like, it's just
living every day in fear, literally living every day in fear.
And so there's this like swirling anti-immigrant sentiment. It's the timing of the abduction. And the people on the internet are connecting the dots. And they start dropping some information that starts to throw some serious doubts on whether or not this woman has been abducted at all. Okay, so first, women don't kidnap each other. It's completely, it's like not a thing. Like, it's happened before, but it is so rare. And then abductions of adult white women for sex trafficking, even more rare.
Right.
Even more rare than that.
You know what else is rare? You're not gonna fucking rough and tough up the person that you're going to fucking sell
exactly.
for trafficking. Like, you're not, they need to look as pretty and beautiful as possible because you're trying to sell them to for sex.
Yes. And the, it's more customary to sedate them. This is why people end up addicted to heroin, because they're being injected with drugs so that they're completely sedated during the trafficking journey until they're delivered to the person. Like, you're right, Quinny, like they're not going to hurt them. They're not like, well, I mean, they're obviously hurting them, but they're not going to like physically.
They're not going to punch them a bunch in the face and brand them and shit. No. They're not going to do that. They have to look pretty.
And then the web sleuths start digging and they find a website called skinheads.com, heads with a Z. Okay. It's now closed down. Thrilled about that. But there was a user called Sherry Graff. Sherry's maiden name. The username has her photo. She said that she, when she was growing up in Shasta County, she had been in two fights with Hispanic females. Quote, "I used to come home in tears because I was getting suspended from school all the time for defending myself against the Latinos." Notice the use of the term. "The chief problem was that I was drug-free, white, and proud of my blood and heritage. It took 3 full-size men to pull me off of her. I broke her nose and split her eyebrow."
Oh my fucking God.
Sherry's friends and family continue to insist that that was not her who wrote that. And then they start ripping apart the inconsistencies in her stories. She claims that her wrists were zip-tied when she was first locked in the room, but then she said that she chewed her bindings off, and you can't chew through a zip tie without breaking your teeth.
Also, especially if her hands were behind her back, like she said.
Right. Zip tie behind her back, but then she chewed through her bindings, which said that she was tased, right? But then she never mentions a taser again. And there's no evidence of a taser on her. And then she said that the branding was punishment for her escaping, but then the branding came later as a punishment for other bad behavior. Then when the police said, we don't even know what that brand says, she was like, oh, I think it's from the book of Revelation. It's like the craziest part of the Bible. And I think it's got something to do with Revelation. I don't know though.
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then Donovan Misk, remember him? And another guy. We're texting Sherry up to the point of her disappearance, and she had them in her phone under women's names. So what are we doing? What are we doing, ma'am? What are we doing here?
Ma'am.
So then we get a sketch of the two women who supposedly took Sherry. Sketch comes out in 2017. And in the same press conference, Detective Jackson, who's the head of this investigation, says a forensic exam found male DNA on Sherry's clothes that did not belong to her husband. And now Jackson doesn't say it was also in her underwear.
Right.
But he just said it was. Right. He just says male DNA.
We wouldn't want to be shameful in releasing this information.
No, we got to think about her dignity.
Correct.
The same way that we extend the same dignity to sex workers that go missing.
Correct.
Great.
Right.
Cool. Got it. Or a user.
Yes.
Someone who uses.
A black woman who gets killed at a random sleepover and nobody does anything.
So they take the DNA and they run it through a family tree database, just like GSK, and they find James Reyes, who is Sherry's ex-boyfriend. So detectives went to his house and they took a bottle out of his recycling to get his DNA, just like they did with D'Angelo. They confirm it's a match. So who the fresh hell is James Reyes? Like we said, ex of Sherry's, right? He said that he was doing a clean out of his house when he found a box of Sherry's old stuff. And so he was a nice guy and he shipped it to her parents' house. They dated when she was living with her parents and he just sent it to her.
Is this before her first marriage?
This is between
her first and second marriage.
She's just talking to him all the time.
She's not talking to him at this point. She's not talking to him. This is within a quick window. So this, she's married to Keith when this happens. No.
Like, when were they dating?
Pre first marriage.
Got it.
Yes. Okay. You're right.
They were elementary school sweethearts.
They were.
Right.
Now, middle school. Kindergarten.
They were kindergarten preschool. Got sweethearts. It. Okay. Got it.
Instead of just chucking it, he shipped it to her parents. Then randomly, she calls him at his job and she says that her husband is beating and raping her, says that she's always loved James and she wants to run away with him.
At his job.
No idea. Okay. She's like, I've always wanted to be with you and I want you to pick me up. I want you to come get me. I want to get out of here. So I have a spot and will you come pick me up from there? And that spot is the exact same spot where Sherry went missing from, Quinny's. And then they bought burner phones to communicate. And when he picked her up on that day, November 2nd of 2016, when she was quote unquote out for a jog, she laid down in the back seat and slept the entire way to Costa Mesa. He bought her clothes and he said that she did not leave his house for 3 weeks.
It's almost as if she was planning for the canine unit to be able to track her scent to exactly where she allegedly went missing.
And exactly where Tara Smith went missing. She thinks she's real smart.
Yeah, she does.
Okay. This is his quote. Okay, I can't. This is his quote. Quote, she was just feeling for herself, you know? She was in her own thing. Like, what, dude?
What is that?
I'm sorry.
What are we saying?
She was in her own thing. You're in your own thing, James Reyes, okay?
Wow.
You're far off in your own thing.
There's a lot going on there.
So after a few weeks, he says she missed her kids. She wanted to go home, but she needed to make it look like she was in a bad way and had been kidnapped because this shit's all over the news. So she ate almost nothing to lose weight. She cut her hair. She hit and burned herself. Okay. Self-harm blamed on somebody else. Yep. And then she got James Reyes to help her with the rest. He admitted that he hit her several times with a hockey puck because she asked him to. So he's like, literally slapping a hockey puck across the room into the woman. Then she used the hockey stick herself to put the injury on her nose, and he branded her at her consensual request. He also said that she made no sound when she was branded.
Yeah.
Then on Thanksgiving morning, he dropped her off on the side of the road. So once police have spoken with Mr. Reyes, they need to sit down and have a little chat with Cher Bear. Okay. So she admitted to nothing. Nope. Stuck to her story. Doubled down. How dare you? How dare you accuse me of something like that? I'm a kidnapping victim. How dare you?
I know you're not on my side. My husband's on my side, but I don't know you. You just accused him of raping and abusing you.
And then eventually they're like, you know what, Keith, why don't you step out for a minute and let us, you know, because we need to talk to your wife. And I think that she may be unwilling to make sure somebody picked up the kids, Keith, Jesus. So when he leaves the room, she said, okay, I have to admit that when I would leave town for work, she would talk to other guys. And that was wrong, detective. So that's what she was willing to admit to.
Okay.
And then 4 years go by. People are like, what was that? And the GoFundMe closed. Money was never returned. And Sherry and Keith bail. They left Reading.
Oh.
But not for long, Quinny, because just as Katie said, you can only run for so long. And in March of this year, Sherry Papini was arrested, and even her arrest. And she was also charged with resisting arrest for how over the top ridiculous she was. When she was arrested, Sherry's family stayed by her side. None of them would speak to the media. And Sherry was charged with 34 counts of mail fraud, one count of lying to the FBI, faced 25 years in prison and $500,000 in fines.
Wow. Mail fraud?
Mail fraud.
What is that?
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into it. So she, at her first hearing, her attorney says, my client needs to be released right away because she has food allergies. And she's only been allowed to eat part of an apple since her arrest 24 hours prior.
Jocelyn, I know you're not an official lawyer.
Nope.
I know this, and I'm not asking for legal advice. However, do you feel that that is really a good legal strategy that he took at this moment in this juncture? Or do you think it's just like the biggest crock of shit? And I don't know why he uttered those words.
I think he was probably pretty nervous about like, what am I going to say?
What
like,
the hell am I going to do?
Because she's the definition of a flight risk. She just ran from fucking national law enforcement for 3 weeks and successfully hid. And that's what the prosecutor said. They were like, this woman, you can't let her go anywhere. You got to keep her. Yeah. She'll run again.
Oh yeah, the food allergies, man. I'm lactose intolerant. You need to let her go.
But yeah. My tummy hurts. I gotta go home. A federal judge agreed to it.
No.
Yes, $120,000 bond.
I need the name.
no criminal history. She goes the fuck home. There were conditions, right? Psychiatric treatment. She had to surrender her passport. Keith had to surrender his guns. She's not allowed to use drugs or alcohol. And there's pretty legendary footage of her leaving the courthouse. I seriously recommend looking it up. She has her sweatshirt pulled up over her head and she is sobbing and running. And her family is trying to shield her. But Keith isn't there because he was filing for divorce.
Yes, Keith.
He also applied for sole custody of their children.
Absolutely.
Nice job, Keith.
Yep. Absolutely.
It was over. This came out, he was done.
He knew.
I'm sorry.
It's really heartbreaking to watch it. It is so heartbreaking to see how he just gets defeated in that moment. As soon as they say it, it was James's DNA. I love when the detective was like, he really did. And you just see his whole demeanor and everything changes. Like he just sinks. He moves the chair like away from her and just like sinks down into himself. It's like so disturbing and sad. He goes out of the room and the detective is like, the DNA doesn't lie. Honey, doesn't lie.
It's science.
She's like, there's no way.
So mail fraud?
So what is that? Yeah. 34 counts?
Yeah, 35 counts of mail fraud.
What?
Did she seduce a mail carrier?
I get Diane Downs level. Diane and Mary Beth Chinning, loving the mailman.
Love.
Sherry took 35 payments from the California Victims Compensation Board, totaling $30,694.15. And she paid a therapist via the mail $2,997 from those funds for what she claimed was anxiety and PTSD treatment for a kidnapping that never happened. And then she also took $1,000 of that money to get new window blinds for her house. And then she claimed over $127,000 in disability benefits from Social Security following her fake kidnapping.
Wow, what a stupid fucking...
Were the blinds for the new house that she got after moving out of Reading?
I do think so.
Okay, just checking.
Authorities also estimated that $150,000 in just straight law enforcement resources were spent on her. But it's really not the only cost of what she did. She also put her husband and kids through hell. She put her family and friends through hell. She spread fear throughout the Hispanic community of Reading. She exploited the community of Reading who volunteered to search for her. And then there's so many bad things in the story, but I do think this is the worst. She visited the family of Tara Smith, the 16-year-old girl who vanished when Sherry was in high school. And she went on several occasions to their home and they fed her dinner. And she sat there and acted like she understood their pain and like she could give them information about what could have happened to their missing daughter.
Poor people.
Wow. She's so trifling. She's beyond. Yeah. She's like beyond. It also gives me vibes of the boy that she convinced to kill himself.
Yes.
Going and being the victim around all the families.
Oh my God, Michelle Carter.
Good. They have the
Michelle Carter. Same mind, same brain, going and being a victim to. And see, okay, that's the other thing too. That's a really big red flag. Of course, every victim or people who have actually suffered from abuse are different. Everybody grieves differently. It's all different. However, a high majority of women or people, humans, anyone who has been abused, they don't
volunteer.
They don't talk about it a lot and go and want to say it to all these people and want to fucking let all these people know that this fucking horrible shit fucking happened to them. It's not, you are not going around and just talking about it all the time, because abuse victims, they don't really do that. That's not really a thing, because if you've actually suffered that kind of trauma, it's not something that you want to put on fucking display. Like if you have to, or you need to, or you know, the situation or the conversation calls for it at that time, sure, that's a different story. But but it's just so sick to me. You have a sickness.
Oh, yeah. So she did end up pleading guilty as part of a plea agreement with the prosecution to avoid trial. And she was sentenced to 18 months in prison, 36 months of supervised release. And she was ordered to pay $309,902 in restitution. So that means that's how much money she made off of this. Wow. Damn near, she made over $250,000 on this whole endeavor. James Reyes was never charged for his part in the crime. That's it, Gwynnies. That's Sherry Papini. So any ideas on what the fuck she did this for? Oh, a cool quarter mil? Cool.
Attention.
What could they potentially have charged James with, technically? Maybe
and
for the fact
gave
that
the evidence that they needed. That he gave them what they needed to know that they were on the right path to be able to charge her, you know?
And,
so,
like, could it not be like, you know, conspiracy to...
It could be conspiracy. Yeah, it could. It probably could. Whatever the conspiracy was too, they would have to charge her with.
Right.
And they nailed her on the mail fraud. And I think that, I honestly think that they just let her keep cashing them checks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let her keep going
while they were
going
doing their
investigating.
Yeah. So
until
they could really nail her.
A threshold and said, oh, 300,000, that sounds like a good number. Yeah, let's, let's go get her.
Her whole vibe, but like specifically how she is like this white woman from an affluent area, affluent family. She allegedly always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. No mention of like me and my family and my children will be getting help for this trauma, But like, oh, she wanted to be a mom forever. She always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom to be with home with her babies. Really? Because I'm pretty sure that she wanted to be out of the house with a fake job, traveling the country, getting some D. Like, that's really what I think.
Like going to have an affair. Really? Like she just literally, she got bored in her life.
She read Gone Girl and
having
then decided,
no stimulation.
I can do this.
Yeah.
Also, Gone Girl's a great book. Like, how fucking dare you? Like,
and it's totally
leave Gone Girl alone.
Leave it.
And there's totally premeditation in it with
100.
Her being in the same location.
100.
It's total premeditation.
Like we said, the Tara Smith family. Oh my God, I am so sorry for everything that you've had to deal with. So
seriously.
Horrible. And also, like,
because
okay.
They're the family of a missing person. They would know.
A missing child.
They would, the thing is, this is what fucking drives me so insane. If you said to them, I can't talk to you because I'm too traumatized, just like Katie was saying, they would understand.
Absolutely, they
would.
But
she didn't.
She talked about it. Yep.
I really wonder about her family, and I'm not trying to place blame. I'm not because they can be considered victims as well. Her parents and her sister. Okay. However,
no, somebody taught her some kind of bad shit or something. She learned something.
Reminds me of Casey Anthony so much.
Yes, because the wheels were never put on.
Is it because she was raised to never have any freaking consequences of any action?
How many times do we talk about this?
They didn't do anything like that. And it's literally just, she was just a bad egg from the beginning. Like, I apologize. Because who else would go through life a regular, fairly normal person in position of privilege, and then there's abuse allegations and nothing happens? Then there's the self-harm that may or may not have been intentional to just blame on her mother. And then Keith being like the nice guy and just probably bending over backwards for her. I want to talk to the sister.
I know.
I want to talk to her.
They don't want anything to do
with
anything.
And I don't blame them anything for that. But it's like, how, I know she's your daughter and your sister, but like, how can you stick by her in this situation? What she did to your grandchildren, to your niece and nephew. And
because she's
guys.
The through line to those kids. And so if Keith decides, I don't want anyone to see him.
Yeah.
There's grandkids on the line now. So now they're going to want to see those kids and they're going to have to act like, you know, well, she just was struggling. And
if it is truly, she was struggling with huge mental health issues this entire time and nobody caught it. I'm sorry. I feel like, yes, there was a mental health component because.
Yeah, it's the, it's called the fucking, it's called the lack of fucking empathy.
It's,
she has
it
no
is. It's
empathy.
The lack of empathy, the lack
absolute
of any
no
consequence
empathy.
In her life. The racism, it really speaks to me about, it gives me Lacey Peterson and the men burglarizing the neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Central Valley, California, Northern California.
Pisses me right
off.
Like
just blatant racism, literally. It's also sad about the kids too, because
it's poor children.
I feel terrible for them.
Me too.
The trauma that they're going to have to deal with in therapy for their whole life.
And and the lack of a mother too.
What kind of relationship is she going to have with them when she gets out? Honestly, I think that she just did it for the money. Being a stay-at-home mom, right? Super noble, super amazing.
I would love to do it. And it's the hardest job out there.
The hardest job that you could possibly have, right?
Shout out absolutely to stay-at-home moms.
100% agree.
But okay? If you want a financial income,
and that's it's a little bit ironic that you are talking about the immigrant problem, quote unquote, but you're stealing Social Security benefits and you will not employ yourself in the jobs that are, quote unquote, being stolen by immigrants. There are so many people who are kidnapped and missing that need, that kind of response. And she
those
just
resources you took.
Totally, and she just exploited it. Yeah. Like to on another level. And exactly. She exploited so many victims who actually not only are kidnapped or members of families who are missing, but also to all abused victims as well that have suffered any kind of abuse.
Yep.
It's so insulting. So, so gross.
Don't be a Sherry Papini.
Way to top it off.
Great. Minnie. Great.
Way to put a cherry on top, little queen.
Cherry on the shitty Sherry.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.